In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to today's episode of the program, Today's Special. How to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, Thursday, is the 23rd of Zilqa'da, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of June 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start today's program with the blessed recitation of the Holy Quran, Surah Zumar, Ayah 64 and 65.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل أفغير الله تأمروني أعبد أيها الجاهلون.
Say, O Muhammad, is it other than Allah that you order me to worship, O ignorant ones?
وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَئِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
And it was already revealed to you and to those before you that if you should associate anything with Allah, your work would surely become worthless, and you would surely be among the losers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The ayahs in question are mainly addressed to the noble prophet, but all people are also involved in such a verse. Yet, Allah the Almighty addresses the prophet owing to the significance of the issue, indicating that even if the prophet disbelieves for a single moment, his deeds will be in vain and he will be among the losers. According to a tradition narrated from Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza alayhi salam, inquired by Ma'mun concerning the verses in question, he stated, such ayahs refer to the Muslim community, even if the Messenger of God is addressed herein.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran.
How should we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The manner of performing worship must be learned from the Quran and the progeny of Prophet after him, just as the address of every house must be found from its owner. Just as the Sikh do not enjoy eating food, the unenthusiastic worshippers will not also acquire pleasure in worship. Worship must be performed with love, enthusiasm, fervor, and pleasure, and not indisposition, languidness, and despondency. Cheerfulness in worship is a privilege possessed by the people whose hearts are enamored by Him. Its ground must also be obtained through nasas and attention. Worship under compulsion and imposition leads nowhere. Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam stated, do not enforce worship on yourself.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that, this inner feelings and inner disposition and inner, sense of calculation leads everybody to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether this ultimate being or this supreme being may be named, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or God or anything else, we find that this is of course, a source of all power. And the whole universe has been created due to His graceful attention. At the same time, we find that, granted that we need worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stresses on we need worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, How should we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who should guide us to this path? Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dispatched many divine prophets. According to Islamic instructions, for any human community, there has been a prophet, a divine prophet. Now we find that these divine prophets have come to direct people, to rescue people from darkness and ignorance, and to lead them to light and knowledge. So we find that the way or how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be found in their instructions. At the same time, we find that the best type of worship is that, okay, people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very much cognizant of what they say and why they perform those jobs and gestures, okay? Because the basic and inherent and the hardcore of all kinds of worship, or worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its various modes and forms, the hardcore of this is, being cognizant of our aim and the aim of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of our creation and our mission in this regard. First of all, we have to know whom we are worshipping and why we need worshipping Him. Another one is another item that should be emphasized here is that we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attentively, not like a perfunctory job, okay, to be done in order to say that, okay, I've just done it, I've just prayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this regard, we find that those people who have excelled in the realm of religious mysticism or religious knowledge and have acquired or reached very high stations or very high echelons of knowledge, religious knowledge, they never worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as perfunctory jobs. Rather, they've been quite, attentive. They worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very attentively.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Ways to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today's suggestion: recite the Holy Quran. There are so many benefits reciting the Quran. The Prophet stated, "Whoever recites a letter from the Book of Allah, he will receive one good deed as 10 good deeds like it." I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is one letter, but rather Aleph is a letter, Lam is a letter, and Mim is a letter. So each one of them separately has a significance. This is the time to take the best opportunity to fill in as much time with the Quran. A great way to keep yourself alert and active simply by reciting one page after every prayer or listening to the beautiful recitations while doing your work.
رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى رَبُّنَا رَبُّ الْقُلُوبِ وَهُوَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ فِي الشُّرُوقِ وَفِي الْغُرُوبِ نُورُهُ يَهْدِي الْعَصَى رَبُّنَا الْهَادِي الْوَدُودِ فَضْلُهُ مِلْءُ الْوُجُودِ عَفْوُهُ خَيْرٌ وَجُودٌ فَارْتَجِي دَوْمًا رِضَا.
Promotion of worship. The believer who is devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should engage in promoting the culture of worship. He should not only restrict himself to his own prayer and worship, but also acquaint others with Allah and worship, exhorting one another to truth and the duty of conveying the message or tabligh are incumbent upon every believer. Allah calls on man after faith and righteous deeds and to exhort one another to patience and the truth. And Allah states, and enjoin one another to follow the truth and enjoin one another to patience. If 10 smokers inhabit in a community, many people will become familiar with smoking within a short period. The presence of only a few corrupt elements is enough to corrupt an entire city. Why cannot a number of faithful worshippers then acquaint the people with God and make the environment congenial for the worship of Allah? With utmost effort, at home, school, office, city, the village, we must plan for the advancement of our own divine objectives and put into action whatever we can along this path.
You claim to worship Allah, but you spend 10 times more on Allah than you spend on yourself. You spend on yourself 20 times more than you spend on Allah. He'll go buy a $500 jacket, but then he'll give just $100 to the masjid. He'll buy a $50,000 car, and then he gives $1,000 for the Husayniyah, and he feels so proud. And then he says, I worship Allah. No, you don't worship Allah. You worship your nafs. You worship your clothes, your stomach, and your desires. Because the way I see it is that you spend on yourself 20 times more than you spend on Allah. Sometimes 100 times more, sometimes 1,000 times more. And we feel so proud if we give 1,000, 5,000, 10,000. And then he spends hundreds of thousands on himself. Or don't look at the number, but look at the percentage. He'll spend 90% on his stomach and clothes, 5 to 10% on what? On Allah Azza wa Jal. Who do we really worship? Allah or the desires? That's why Allah says in the Holy Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. He says, many people, they don't worship Allah. They say we worship Allah. They say لا إله إلا الله. They do sujood maybe even. But however, the true God that they worship is their desires, their nafs. So the Imam says, in order for you not to be distracted by the dunya and salah, do not place your forehead on something that is man-made. The carpet is man-made. Place your forehead on something that is natural. That is none other than the earth. Now that we understand the philosophy, the theological and spiritual benefits of sujood, we understand that these benefits can only be acquired by doing sujood on earth, not on the carpet.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Today's Special. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information on this program and to download for free our previous episodes of this program and other programs of IRIB English Radio, please visit our website at parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
They told me that I'm crazy. Who you praying for? They told me there is nothing. Who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, 'cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world.
Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and since today is the 23rd of the month of Zilqa'dah, and according to a narration, the day of martyrdom of the Holy Prophet's 8th infallible heir, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him, we offer you our sincere condolences and present you a statement worth contemplating from Imam Raza, peace be upon him, when his murderer-to-be, the Abbasid Caliph Ma'mun, deceitfully offered him the caliphate. If the caliphate is really yours, you have no right to give to others what God has given you. And if it does not belong to you, how can you give it to others what is not yours in the first place?
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith, which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about what takes away the splendor and the awe from that others have for Muslims from the hearts of the non-Muslims, right? And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once surrounded by his companions, and he made a prediction. He made a prediction regarding the future concerning the Muslim nation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Soon, very soon, other communities will attack you, like the attack of a hungry man towards a bowl of food." One present there asked the following. One of his companions who was there, he said the following. He asked the Prophet, "Will we be a minority then?" This person assumed that, you know, these other people would be attacking them because they would be a minority, and they would be outnumbered by the non-Muslims, and because of this, the non-Muslims would get the courage and feel the strength to attack these Muslims. So the Prophet replied and said, "No, you will be the majority," meaning you will outnumber them, "but you will be like the scum of the flood," right? Meaning you will be worthless, you will be unable to overpower your enemies. "And in fact," the Prophet continued, "Allah will snatch away the awe that your enemy has of you," meaning the enemies will no longer fear you, even though you have a lot of numbers. You know, you are in the majority. You outnumber the enemy, but still the enemy will not fear you. And because of that, because obviously when the opposition doesn't fear you, they will be able to overcome you, and they will attack you. The Prophet continued and said, "And he will cast weakness in your heart. God will cast weakness into your hearts." One present there, one of the companions who was present there, he asked the Prophet and said, "What is that weakness? What is that weakness? Or what is the cause of that weakness? How does that weakness come about? What led to that weakness of the heart, of the ambition, or of the courage of the Muslims?" So the Prophet said, "That will be because of love of the world, hubbu dunya, and dislike of death, wa karahiyatul maut." These two will be the cause of the weakness of your heart. Obviously, when somebody fears death, obviously he won't have the courage to defend his nation from the attacks of outsiders and enemies. Or when he loves the world, right? When he loves the world, this is also one of the reasons that would lead to the weakness of his heart, the diminishing of his courage, and then his inability to defend himself and his nation from the attacks of the outsiders. This is the reason for this spiritual weakness and this lack of courage. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at what takes away the splendor of the Muslim community, in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حرّا.
let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
This is Habibullah Fasihzada. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Thank you so much for joining us, respected brothers and sisters all over the world who are listening to us right now. I really welcome you all, inshallah, in this Quranic session, in level 3 of our Quranic sessions, the Tajweed rules of the Quranic Kareem. We are going to continue our previous topics, and we will learn, inshallah, new tips on how to read the Quran Kareem with tajweed beautifully and without mistakes, inshallah, right? So, alhamdulillah, we talked about the letter ra, the harakat, the heavy or light sound depending on the harakat of the letter ra itself, and also the harakat of the previous letter. But now, one thing which is important to mention is, what if there is like hamzatul wasl, okay? And then we have ra. Hamzatul wasl, do you know?
Yes.
Yes. Hamzatul wasl we have, then we have ra. It means we skip that hamzatul wasl, okay? So then the next letter is ra, and that is sakin. If it has harakat, so we pay attention to the harakat. But what if we have like hamzatul wasl? Because hamzatul wasl can take two harakats, either kasra or fatha. Either kasra or Dhamma. Sometimes, if it is with the word al, starts with al, it has fatha. But in the other case, is okay. So it has either kasra or dhamma. Yes. So now, what if we have like this hamzatul wasl, because the harakat is not clear, and we are going to join like the previous word with the next word. So in this case, hamzatul wasl will be skipped. For example, ami. Then we have irtabu. If you say irtabu, that's okay. It has kasra, irtabu. But ami, so mim has kasra, hamzatul wasl will be skipped. Amir tabu. So ami, then irtabu. So pay attention. Or for example, in Surah Al-Fajr we have ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'inna. Next one.
Irji'i.
We have hamzatul wasl. Irji'i is hamzatul wasl. Okay. We say ya ayyatuha an-nafsul mutma'innatur.
Yes.
Turji'i. So the hamzatul wasl will be skipped, and so what should we do with the letter ra? Should we give it like a tarqiq rule, or we should apply tarqiq rule or tafkhim?
We should see the previous letter ta. Tur.
Or, for example, we have about, how to deal. Or, for example, making dua for the parents in the Quran. We have, رَبِّ رَحَمْحُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. Okay? So, this ayah, رَبِّ إِرْحَمْهُمَا رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا. Yes? We have this.
Yes.
So, what should we do with the letter ra? The letter ra is sakin. And we have hamzatul wasl. So remember, the rule is this. The answer is this.
For irji.
For all of these examples. Totally. We have hamzatul wasl, then we have ra.
Sakin ra?
Oh, yes, sakin.
We look at
if it has fatha, kasra, dhamma, if it is mutaharrik, of course, we pay attention to the harakat. But we don't have harakat here.
So we look at jim, it has kasra, so we put kasra at the start of it, before ra too.
One idea. one idea, okay?
No, the situation is just Ra is Sakin and okay. We have Hamzatul Wasl.
Before it, yes.
Before Ra is Hamzatul Wasl? Yeah.
Uh-huh. We have Hamzatul Wasl.
Yeah.
Hamzatul Wasl, Ra, Sakin Ra. What should we do?
We put Kasra because the next letter has Kasra.
No. The previous letter is Tha and it has Zamma, so we should pronounce a heavy sound.
Which?
Torjai.
So. No, totally. Let's give it a general rule.
So previous letter.
We have to pay attention to the previous letter.
Yes.
What about, for example?
Next letter.
Ami. Amir Tabu. Ami.
So previous letter.
Yeah, so it means the Ra is like having a light sound. Amir Tabu.
No.
Amir Tabu.
What does previous letter of Ra have?
Meme. It's meme. Meme has Kasra.
Kasra, so it is
a light sound.
Amir.
Yes.
Okay. Amir Tabu, you say?
Yes.
So was my idea correct?
But the rule says, okay, your idea was a nice idea, but unfortunately that was wrong. So I appreciate that, but that was wrong. Your idea was good, but that was wrong too. So the rule is this. The rule is this. That for Hamzatul Wasl, guys, for Hamzatul Wasl, doesn't matter Hamzatul Wasl is skipped or it is pronounced. Doesn't matter. Hamzatul Wasl is skipped, you do not pay attention, okay, you delete Hamzatul Wasl, you omit it, or you read it. For example, you start, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna turji'i, if you join it, of course, the ta has dhamma, so turji'i, so it means the previous letter of ra has dhamma, it's clear, okay, you have to produce a heavy sound. But, what about you start from irji'i? How do you read it?
Irji'i.
Irji'i or
irji'i?
Irji'i.
You are saying if the verse start with Hamzatul Wasl, how we should pronounce a ra?
Yeah.
So we'll see the last word of the previous verse.
That is when you like skip Hamzatul Wasl. You're joining two words together and Hamzatul Wasl is sacrificed here.
Okay, after the ra is jim that have kasra, yes?
Jim?
Yes.
No, it is sukun.
No,
yeah, it has
kasra.
Ho. Because of that, we put kasra for ra.
So,
also
no.
For the Hamzatul Wasl. Irji.
Only for Hamzatul Wasl.
Yeah, irji.
We assign Hamzatul Wasl with kasra. That's e. That's okay. Because Jim, the third letter, has kasra.
That's the what third I letter. Said.
But what about ra? Ra has a heavy letter of sound.
Nothing.
No, so, it is kasra.
So when
so it is light.
Before
light sound.
Ra is a light. Before ra there is kasra, so it is light sound.
Mm-hmm.
All the ideas
it's
were
heavy sound.
Nice ideas, but unfortunately
wrong.
With Hamzatul Wasl, it has a general rule.
Irji'i.
It has a general rule. Look how I'm reading. Amir tabu. Next example. الذي كسرة الذي ارتضى الذي ذير heavy sound both examples. Next example. ربي ارحمهما again heavy sound. ارجعي
heavy sound.
So what do you understand? There is a general rule that for my idea. If the ra has sukun, okay?
It will be heavy.
Heavy.
Every time heavy.
Heavy always. Is there any question?
No.
Okay. So inshallah, the next rules, okay? There are some rules left, okay? That inshallah we will study the next session. But now we have some minutes to practice and apply the rules in the verses of the Holy Quran.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
So, if you're ready, we will go to Surah Al-Balad, okay?
and inshallah practice this surah all together.
Yes, sir.
So let's go and recite as halawat and start.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Surah Al-Balad, chapter 30 of the Quran, and page 594 in my Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Inshallah, we pay attention to the qalqala as well. We pay attention to the heavy sounds, light sounds, the correct pronunciation of the letters, okay? So far, whatever the rules we have studied, we have to pay attention.
لا أقسم بهذا البلد
لا أقسم بهذا البلد.
I heard someone saying بهذا البلد. Fix your ha, not ha. Ha.
لا أقسم بهذا البلد.
لا أقسم بهذا البلد.
Okay, look, هذا light sound. لا light sound. أو light sound because it is like Hamza, okay?
Yes.
Uqo, qo, qo.
Heavy sound.
Heavy sound. So we have Dhamma before this. So again, it has Sifatul Isti'ala. Uqo. La
uqo.
Simu. Si, si. Light sound. Simu. Light sound. Bihathal. Light, light. Wada. Hathal. Ba. La. D.
Qalqala.
Qalqala.
لا أقسم بهذا البلد
لا أقسم بهذا البلد
لا أقسم بهذا البلد
لا أقسم بهذا البلد
أحسن
وأنت حل بهذا البلد
وأنت حل بهذا البلد
ووالد وما ولد
ووالد وما ولد
If someone says this way ووالد that's wrong, okay? Because it has like a light sound
ووالد وما ولد
ووالد وما ولد
أحسن
لقد خلقنا الإنسان في كبد
لقد خلقنا الإنسان في كبد
Pay attention to this ayah لقد قلقل as well
خلق
Next one لقا قا heavy sound
Yes
خا خا خلق قلقل and heavy sound
Three قلقلز
Yeah
لقد
No, two لقد دال خلق
What about قاف First قاف لقد
That doesn't have قلقلة Because it has حركات So قلقلة is when it's ساكن بلد Sorry كبد It has like قلقلة
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا أقسم بهذا البلد وأنت حل بهذا البلد ووالد وما ولد لقد خلقنا الإنسان في كبد
So thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network and also the students and also the teacher. Thank you so much. Inshallah, see you in the next session. Stay with us. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran
a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality. It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality, and I am your humble host, Zainab. We are again at your service with yet brand new episode of Back to Reality. Yes, today we are going to talk about what aging teaches us. And on that note, we have in studio with us two special guests. I have with me Fatima from California and Sadiqa from the UK. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much for inviting me. This is Fatima from California, USA.
Oh, alaikum salam. Thank you for having me over. And this is Sadiqa from UK.
Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. A very warm welcome. Oh, well, if I ask you, you have grown up. If you get time to go back, what is it that you regret you wanted to learn as young as you were? Like, you have, as you have aged, you have experienced obviously a lot of things. But what is it that you regret? When I was young, I had learned this thing that time.
I regret I should have spent more time in studying. I was kind of distracted emotionally, and like, oh, I was in this whole thing of I need to find the suitable spouse and be a good mom and family life. Whereas that's important. I think that's really one of the most important things. The mother's job is the hardest job in the world, and it's such a great thing to raise good kids. But
yeah.
I just feel like studying, because once you, I mean, anyone can study any age, but like, yeah. Usually once you pass a certain age, it gets a little bit harder to really study, you know, like the Islamic studies, Arabic, these kind of deep topics, Islamic philosophy, these things. I wish I could have studied more these things.
Okay.
But
so
I mean, it's never too late, inshallah,
like,
I will. But I just feel like that time, I wish I would have spent more time in the early years.
Yeah, because it's never too late to learn. But you're saying, you're advising our youth, actually, who are listening to us, that
it's easier to learn in that time.
It's easier to learn and read and study as you're young. So never give up time. So, Sadiqa, let me ask you, when you look at your younger Sadiqa today, what is it that you do not want to take for granted?
What I don't want to take for granted. That's a bit of a hard one. I guess the fact that I have a good family and a chance to practice my religion as freely as I have been able to do so far, coming from the West as well, where we see Islamophobia is on the rise, I think this was a great blessing that I personally have really taken for granted, maybe not used it to the best of my ability. But yeah, if I could go back and understand that there is more to life than just living, then definitely my life would have been different today.
Okay. Well, do you realize, Fatima, that living in enjoying the particular moment at a particular point of time was important? I mean, as we were young, we took tomorrow for granted. Do you think that's also one of the regrets? Because, like, for me, I think yes, because, like, as I grew up older, I think I should have lived the moment in the very time. I should have never taken tomorrow for granted, because you never know if you're there tomorrow or not.
Yeah, and I think also in my 20s, I was kind of, like, in this survival mode, like I just got to survive. Whereas I think if you're able to do more in the community, I wish I could have done more. And like, because our Muslim communities, especially in the U.S., are so much in need. I wish I could have done more, like volunteering, you know, like community activities with the sisters. I mean, I did volunteer a little bit here and there, but I wish I could have done more for the communities, for the people who were in worse situations than me, especially the Muslim communities. But alhamdulillah for everything, I'm glad I was able to immigrate over here and just be here. It's kind of more peaceful, less stressful life here, even though there's certain stresses, but it's much less than in the West, I think.
Yes. Sidiqa said that she's blessed that she is here. She turned out to from West to this life. You said you are blessed. Even I feel that I am blessed. But for those who are listening to us right now, who all do not have that opportunity to, you know, have this turn of immigration to a holy place to live in, what do you suggest them? How do they, take their time seriously? How do they not take tomorrow for granted? Because, never know. For example, not everyone learns from aging, as Siddiqa rightly put it. She said that if you do not act apart from learning, then you're just passing on numbers. So what do you suggest for the youth?
I think trying to help the youth, like if they're like in their 20s or teenagers, trying to help even the younger youth, like the elementary school kids. It's so tough in the U.S., especially the girls that want to wear hijab. It's much harder than even other countries, I think. And just trying to reach out to the youth and encourage them and their deen and to keep their deen. Because sometimes a lot of them, especially the immigrant parents or even the children of immigrants, they don't know how to present Islam to the youth, and they kind of are too strict or they don't have enough activities for them.
One of the things that always gave me peace was reading. A lot of the books have been translated into English, and there are really some really decent books out there. I used to buy books and read them through the night, especially on the worst of my nights when I used to go through a very hard time in life. I would keep a book next to my bed and read it and fall asleep. One of the books that I've wanted to go back to it and read it is a book about the life of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. It has a hadith from his whole life,
okay,
with traditions, narrations from his life. They have been collected into one book. And I believe that was one of the books that I really enjoyed reading. And I used to read these in my when I used to be in university. For those who are in the West, between classes, you do have breaks, 1, 2, 3. Sometimes it lasts for 5 hours. You have one class in the morning and one in the evening. That time can always be spent reading. Traveling to back and forth from university, sitting in the bus, you can easily read a book. You can actually go through a whole lecture within that time. Because as we know, buses do take a lot of time traveling. So that's how I used to spend a lot of my time when I used to go to university. Sit in the bus, switch on a lecture or read a book. University breaks between classes, sit down, read a book. 5-10 minutes can build up to a lot. And you can easily finish a book within a month if you spend just 10-15 minutes per day, I guess, if you're an avid and a good reader.
Stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. We'll be back in a short while.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Well, Fatima, in Islamic point of view, where is the place of the old ones?
I think people who are older have a more life experience, and assuming that their personality is very good and wholesome and they are positive, optimistic person and they like to help people solve their problems, they could help.
In Islam, they're kind of more respected.
Mm-hmm.
Since you come from a different culture and you have seen a world here, you have seen world there, I would want to ask you the difference. What is the status of old people in that tradition, in that life, and what is it in Islamic culture that you saw and realized?
I think the thing is, because it's different in the past, I was saying that in the past, in the West, they respected older people more, whereas when the culture changed, kind of in the previous generations, they're not respecting as much because the family bonds kind of broke down. We don't have as much family bonds anymore. So elderly people are kind of ignored. They're not as much respected as before. Whereas in the East, they still have these close family bonds. I think even the non-religious people have these close family bonds. So it's not just the religious Islamic stuff. It's their cultural things too, that they respect the older people more.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas over there, not as much. It's kind of the way it is.
So you're saying that it's in some parts of the world, it's because of tradition that old people are respected.
Yeah.
And in some parts of world, they're just because they're more old age homes and...
Yeah, because their focus is on career and money.
Mm-hmm.
The family life is not as much. Whereas over here, in the East, their focus is more on the family life more.
Yeah. True. Well, Siddiqa, since you also come from a different culture, you have also seen, and there are so many old age homes in the UK as well. What do you think? Since you came, you had a drastic change of your life and you experienced people over here, people over there. What was the difference? What was the, like, you know, treatment of old people in your culture and in Islamic culture you're living in?
So the area I lived in the UK, I'm not going to say old people were rejected completely. There is a level of respect. There's a level of respect for every person regardless of the age. Obviously, in the Eastern culture, there is a level of respect for the older people because they're seen as those who bond a family together. But in the West, it's not seen as such. You're just a human being who deserves humanity, who deserves human respect and dignity. But in the Eastern culture, you're seen as a person who's respected because you are older and you're supposed to bond a family together. Although these are not always realized, people who are older in age might not hold a family bond together strongly enough because it comes down to the level of wisdom, their personality, how they react in the society they live in. Do they contribute to a society properly or do they just sit? Now, again, when it comes down to old age homes that you mentioned in the West, in some cases, those old age homes are necessary because some people suffer with illnesses where it is not possible to provide the treatment at home.
All right.
While these homes have those services available, if they live with the spouse alone, it's not possible for the spouse alone to take care of them.
All right.
They do require 24/7 care, which is not possible in the house. Therefore, some of these homes provide this service. But on the opposite side, from what I have seen with some of these homes, is that they do not give respect to the old people.
Oh.
While they provide the services that is essential for senior citizen to live a life of dignity, unfortunately, it's become a very profitable business.
Yeah.
So this human dignity, the initial reason for building these homes was to provide dignity for the senior citizen.
Exactly.
But then they go about, because it's become a profitable business, that human dignity is no longer offered and an old person is just seen as someone who is now just passing the last few days. Let's just get over it. I know we'll worry and finished. Let's make the money that we can make from it.
Islam teaches us that the old should be respected. In fact, Quran, you know, says there's a verse which says that you cannot even say, oof, you know, you should not have that expression of, you know, I am fed up, I'm done with you, with your parents. So there are so many signs, so many traditions Islam teaches you
that
dignity and respect should be maintained.
But that verse that you mentioned is about parents. It doesn't matter whether the parents are old or young. You cannot disrespect them. So someone's parents might be 40 and they're considered quite young, but you cannot disrespect them. The young has to respect the parents because the parents have a very specific role in a person's life. But when it comes to the older, the senior citizens, given that they are, perhaps it might be more from a cultural perspective, they're seen as a source of blessing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And with that as well, there's a certain level of respect that's offered to them in the cultural world, I guess. But from an Islamic perspective, from the way I see it, human dignity should be offered to everyone. And this respect that is often offered to those who are also of an older age is because of the role they have played in society throughout the years.
True.
So we obviously did not come out from thin air. We had our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and each of these contributed in a different way to society for us to
definitely
reach where we
they
are.
Did.
So whatever good we see today goes back to them, and whatever evil we see, we would not necessarily put it down to one person, but it is how society has changed over the years and how people have changed their views and outlook to life. So yes, they do have a level of respect because of how they've contributed to society throughout the different generations.
Yes. So, well, since we are talking about what aging has taught us, we must